Yeah, so good morning. Praise God. We thank God. We thank God for another good morning. And I think God has been giving us the grace to look at this man, Jacob, and to see how he has struggled and how he struggles, you know, with God. He wrestles with God. He wrestles with man. And he really had a spirit of striving. Because he wanted so much. He was born already second fiddle. When he came out of earth, he found that he was second. So he has to hold his brother's leg, and he's called Jacob, which means deceiver or supplanter. And he struggles all his life. He finds a way to con his brother of the birthright by, you know, over a bowl of soup, knowing that the brother was hungry. And then later on, he has to scheme with his mother's help on how he can steal the brother's the blessing of the father, and which the father does. And you see, when Esau comes, he's crying and he weeps bitterly, and even the father trembled. The Bible says that, and Isaac trembled, because he's like, but who is it that came before and stole your blessing? And for sure, I have blessed him. He will be blessed, you know. The father recognizing the importance of that, and Esau being called godless, do not be godless or immoral like Esau, who for a single bowl of lentils sold his birthright, a bowl of morsel sold his birthright. And after he sought, you know, repentance, you know, change of mind with tears, there was nothing that could be done. And that tells us that no matter how much we try, and if we are not, you know, we can easily lose the destiny that God has called us to. And I think a classic example is Peter. And I believe that when you know, Peter was the apostle, Peter was the leader of the church, Peter was the one that God called to, you know, to reach out to the entire world, and not only the Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I believe that he was also called to the Gentiles, the Peter. But you see, when God brings out the vision for him, and he shows him the animals, both clean and unclean, and he tells him, rise up, kill, and eat. Peter says, no, from I was born, I've never touched any unclean thing. And he's told, do not call what I've called clean unclean. Twice he said, no, I cannot do it. And the third time he still refuses. And I believe it was in that moment that a portion of the portion of the Gentiles was taken away from him. And in that moment God found Paul, and he decided that he will call a different man to do that work. And for sure he's given he all the wisdom, all the grace, all the signs and wonders, all the ability was given. And you see, that's what happens when we say no. Because there are things that God wants us to do. There are things that God wants us to do for his kingdom. But the moment we say no, the moment we bring in our prejudices, the moment we bring in our ideas, the moment we bring in our thinking, our trying to assess from our human level, the moment we listen to the wrong people, or we listen to people who are not speaking from faith, we listen from pragmatic people. You know, there's a spirit of being a realist, and there's a spirit of being pragmatic. But faith does not operate in the realm of what you can calculate. Faith does not operate in the realm of normalcy. I always say that faith is a form of madness. And for sure, anyone who's operating in faith to the outside world will appear mad. Eh? But this faith is not based on your wishful thinking. And that's something that we have to be clear about. Faith is different from wishful thinking. And you'll find many people tell you, no, that is just wishful thinking. Now, the difference between faith and wishful thinking is that faith has a spiritual substance. That means that you have received a spiritual confirmation, a title deed, and evidence that what you're asking of God will come to pass. You see, when Elijah tells the king that, please, rush quickly so that you're not caught up with the rain, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The only thing that gave him the confidence to actually tell the king that is because he heard in the spirit the sound of abundance of rain. You understand? And that tells us that it is a sensitivity to hear God's voice that actually gives the confidence to actually declare things, that men of God did not just declare from their desires. They did not just declare from the things they wanted, but they declared what they heard from God. And Jesus himself tells you, I can only do what I see my Father do. I can only tell you what I hear my Father tells me. And that gives us a principle of how we are to operate as believers. We are supposed to operate from the point of hearing. We are supposed to operate from the point of sensitivity to the voice of God. Because the place of interaction with man and God was the voice, the sound of God. Adam had the sound of the voice of God walking in the garden. He did not see lights. He did not see earthquakes. He did not see fire. He did not see, visions and all that. All those things can be deceptive. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Even Elijah, after he had all those things, God was not in all them. So the place that God wants us to walk with is his voice. That is the highest place of intimacy. And anyone who is doing great things in the kingdom of God, they have a very sharp form of hearing. They hear things that you will wonder, how did you hear that? And when they declare them, it is simply manifest. Why? Because they have heard of God and they know the voice of God. And someone says, I know someone's is getting delivered of this. It's because they have heard within them. There's a sign they have heard. And remember, God does not speak us to just in language. God's speakings to us are in various forms, and God giving the grace we'll learn about later on about how to hear the voice of God. Because the same way that you can communicate with your child without speaking, it's the same way that God can also speak to us. There are signs that God gives us. The same way that your body can tell you it is hungry without using words, is the same way that also God uses signs in our bodies to tell us, in our spirit man, to tell us what we need to do. There's a time that God tells you need to fast. There's a time that God will tell you that you need to find somewhere and pray. There's a time that God will tell you that you need to take hold of the situation. You need to lambano, you need to grab it. There's a time that even are listening to a sermon and you know that you're being transformed, you're being conformed into the image of God. There is a transformation that is happening. You're receiving a spiritual seed. There's a witness that God gives us every time we encounter truth. There's a witness. The Bible says that the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaped for joy when she heard the salutation of Mary. There's a leaping for joy when we hear truth being delivered to us. And all these are speakings of the Holy Spirit. All these are speakings of God. And that's why we're told, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive. He cannot have reception. He cannot have insight. He cannot have knowledge of the things of God. And God calls us to a place where we need to hear him, where we need to have perception, where we need to have understanding, where we need to have truth that is being deposited in us. And the things that God calls us to do may not look easy. They might not look like that we can do them in our first doing. It might look at ourselves and we see our infirmities. We might see the difficulties that we have, the challenges that we have. I mean, the sicknesses that we are facing. But when we look that we are not getting strength from ourselves, that it is broken vessels, it is earthen vessels that God uses, that God does not use perfect human beings, but God perfects the ones he calls, oh God. He does not call the mighty, he does not call the strong, he does not call the rich, but he calls those that are available. And God calls anyone that says, Lord, I don't know how I'll do it, but I'm here. I'm here that you can use me. I'm here that you can use me. And these are the kind of people that God uses. And so let us be encouraged that God is able to use us as we are. Whatever it is that we give him, he will use it. And the challenge is that he is so limited by what man has given him. Man has just given him just an inch. There are many men who are saying they are following God, but they have not given God their full space, their full capacity. They are not saying, yes, Lord, I am available. God wants us to be delivered from the spirit of striving. Why do people strive? It's because they still depend on themselves. They still depend on their own effort. They still depend on their own capacity. They still look at the amount of money they have. They still look at their training. They still look at the things that they have, at the limitations. They look at their past. They look at how many times they have tried and failed. They look at what they are missing, at the anointing they are missing. They look at that they don't have the miracles. I remember listening to the story of Reinhard Bonnke and how he had never seen an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, even when he was coming to preach to Africa. And the story that he gives is that, I mean, growing up, he knew that, I mean, God will pour out His Spirit, and every time in their church they will lock the door and pray for the Holy Spirit to come down. But along those times, I think God ministered to him, and he knew that he had a call to preach to Africa. And I think it is in one of the South African countries. I'm not sure if it's Malawi, Zambia, or Zimbabwe, but one of them. And he went and he reached out to pastors, and he was telling them that, can we arrange a crusade? And eventually one finally gave him the confidence, okay, we shall arrange, and they went for the stadium. And the guy was like, why don't you start with a small space first? But he says the first day is that he could count the number of people who attended, and he says they were not more than 100, because he counted them one way and coming back. But all he can say, testimony he gives, is that as he prayed for, whether it was that day or the next day, as he prayed for God to pour out His Spirit, he said he opened his eyes, because even him, he wanted to see how God will pour out His Spirit. And he says on that day he saw such a, like an outpouring of a blue sea. It's like a wave of blue of water that was just coming over the people, and then people started getting healed, you know, crippled started getting healed. And there were miracles that took place. And by the next day, no, the word was already spread. People were full. And that is how a ministry began. But it did not begin before he went out. It happened when God met him in the field. God met him in the place of faith. So God is able to meet us at that point. When we stop striving, and when we say, Lord, here I am, use me. Those are the kind of people that God is looking for. You know, when Isaiah reached heaven, in Isaiah chapter 6, he found heaven's discussions. And heaven's discussions was, whom shall we send? Who shall go for us? And that is all God is always asking, who shall go for us? So just quickly to add on to the points of what will help us to be delivered. Yesterday we looked at brokenness. Brokenness will help us to be delivered from the spirit of striving. Jacob had to be broken in the hip socket for him to stop striving. And every time he came out from that encounter with God, he was limping. He was limping, and that limping was a reminder that God had transformed him from being Jacob to Israel. He could no longer trust in his own energy. You can imagine if he was a very energetic man, a very hardworking farmer, a very hardworking, you know, shepherd. And you can imagine how he fought wild animals, how he took care of Laban's sheep and donkeys and everything, and he ensured that he did not suffer any loss from wild animal day and night. And now he was limping. God just broke him. You can imagine now he's a shepherd that cannot run. He cannot chase after anything, but he's just limping. But that is the encounter that God did. There's a thing that God has to break in you. And when he does it, my brother, you have no shame in declaring his name. You're not ashamed of the gospel because you know it is a power of God unto salvation and to them who believe in his name. But many people, because they are thinking of their pride, they are thinking of their position, they are thinking of what they stand to lose, then that is why they do their own things. Humility. Humility is putting others before ahead of you and recognizing others for their achievement, celebrating others when they succeed instead of bad-mouthing them and desiring to learn from them rather than compete. We are not called to compete in the kingdom of God. Everyone is given a unique grace. There is no single angel that is the same. Why? Because God is so diverse. God is so beautiful. God is so majestic. God has infinite possibilities, and that is why he has made you unique. Your ministry is unique from everyone else, and that is why only those who don't hear God are copying others. Only those who don't hear God are copying others. Yes, you can copy someone's ministry and you can have success, for sure you will. But it will be Ishmael. It will be Ishmael and not Jacob. Because Joshua was told, now my servant Moses is dead, arise. The same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. It did not mean that God expected Joshua to do the same things, to give them manna. But the assurance was that my presence will be with you. This book of the law, meditate on it day and night, and you'll have good success. Success in God's kingdom is individually defined. Success in God's kingdom for one man is 10 talents. For another, it is 1 talent. You must find out what is it that success in God's eyes for you means. For one, it meant to be raised a global ministry that cuts across nations. For another, it might just be to be a janitor and do it well and impact students in that school. I was reading a story of in one of the books that, or rather, yeah, maybe my wife shared with me, that of a school teacher of who God gave the blessing and the ministry of being just a teacher, a preschool teacher. I think it's a book by Max Lucado, I think. And what this teacher will do is that every time she encountered a child, she will stand in front of the child while the child is doing their, you know, trying to learn. She will start praying for the child. And one day, as she stood next to a child, God told her, you know what? This is the first time any prayer is being made for this child. This child has never been mentioned to me by anyone. And it broke her to realize that the simplicity of offering prayers for this child was actually an opportunity for God to hear about them. And you see, when you're in a land where there are many unbelievers, anytime you pray for them, anytime you just offer up a prayer for these children you meet on the street, for these children where you just see them and you say, God, please bring them to an encounter to know you, that in itself is a mention to them in the courts of heaven. And that might be just what God needs to intervene in their lives. It may not happen now, but in the future, they will come to an encounter of truth. That is what God expects of us, to be missionaries, to be praying for nations, to ask of him for the nations. Love, we need to love. Anyone who loves fulfills the full law. If Jacob loved his brother, he had no business stealing from him his birthright. He had no business deceiving his father. The heart, we've talked about the heart. You need to guard your heart. What is the gate of your heart? Your eyes are the gate to your heart. What you see, what you hear is a gate to your heart. What you speak is a gate to your heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Likewise, doubt comes by hearing and hearing the words of Satan. The opposite is exactly true. And the words of the devil might sound true. They might come from well-meaning people, just like the same way Peter was well-meaning when he was telling Jesus that, no, don't go to the cross. And he told him, depart from me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You do not carry the things of God. The same words that were coming from Peter, who in one moment said, you are Christ, Son of the living God, was the same words that came from him, that said, asking Jesus not to go to the cross. So well-meaning people, who might be even your spouses, who might even be your children, who might even be your father, might actually be leading you away from the will of God. And you need to be sensitive to know that this is the will of God for my life. That might not make sense to people at that time, but that is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to hear, and when you have heard, then you can run with it. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Quality time with God. Quality time in prayer. There are some that you need to listen 5 times, 10 times, until something is awakened, a light bulb, eureka moment happens, as the scientists say. A very important thing that you need to do, you need to know who you are. Who has God called you? God has said you are a son. To those who believed him, to those who received in his name, he gave them the right, the power to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or a husband's will, but children born of God. When you are born from above, when you are born again, you are a son of God. And you are adopted, and you're not just any kind of son, you are the firstborn in Christ. My God, that means we receive kingship, we receive priesthood, we receive the kingdom, we receive inheritance, we receive wealth, we receive riches, we receive power, we receive everything that is accorded to Christ. That is our place. That's why the Bible tells us, just as he is, so are we in this present world. Until we come to the realization that we are sons of God, we are loved of God. And when God has called you a son, he will take care of you. A child of God is taken care of by his father. A child is carried, a child is washed, a child is fed, until the child is able to take responsibility. The difference between you and an apostle is that the apostle grew from being a child to being a son. We are all born children of God, and many people are still operating in the realm of children. That is why they play with sin, they live in sin, they sin, they fall, they play again, they repent, they do whatever they want. Children have their own will. Children are not obedient. Many children are not subservient to their parents. They do whatever they want because they are children. And the Bible says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline throws it far away. And that is why God, even as a child, he will discipline you, man. He can allow some tormenting things to disturb you. He can allow some sicknesses. He can allow some attacks. Why? Because you're operating as a child, so you need some discipline. He still loves you, but he's treating you as a child. I want you to think of the relationship that you have with your child, and think of how God relates with you as a son of God, as a child of God. And there's so many, it's such a packed lesson that you are not exhausted. And once you come to that full understanding that you have a father, then the orphan spirit dies. The spirit of Cain dies. The spirit of restlessness dies. The spirit of poverty dies. Why? Because you are a son of the owner of the universe. Silver and gold belong to him. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Every resource on earth belongs to him. He is richer than Bill Gates. He is richer than Elon Musk. He owns everything, and he has adopted you and he has called you my child. That should be transform your mind. And that means that you shift from self-dependence to God-dependence. You shift from self-reliance to God-reliance. You shift from personal savings to relying on the abundance of heaven, the commonwealth of Israel, the commonwealth of the heavenly Israel. You operate not based on your salary, but you operate on God's supernatural providence, that you can say, give them something to eat. Sit the 5,000 people and give them something to eat. The knowledge that you are a son of God is the greatest transformative piece of knowledge that will transform your life as a believer. You can be 30 years as a Christian, but you have never come to the truth that you are actually a child of God and you are a son of God, and you can rest, and there is nothing that you do that earns you points to your Father. No. It is not being number one in class that makes your Father love you more. You are still a child to your Father. It is not the amount of fasting that makes you love by your Father God more. It's not the amount of giving that makes you love more. No, God loves you because of what Christ has done. Anyone who understands that will now have the liberty of a relationship with God as a Father. And that is the greatest place of truth. It's the greatest place of revelation. And everything that you move in unto that, you're doing it out of intimacy with your Father. Then you will know as a child, as you grow in your home, then it gets to a point where your Father also depends on you. He can count on you. He can say, clean the house today. And he knows that when he comes back, he'll find the house clean. Now, you don't clean that house because you want to be loved more, but you clean that house because you are a child of that house. Now, that is the difference between the responsibility of a believer and the responsibility of one who is trying to earn the love of a father. Yesterday we talked about rest. Two other things, the word of God. We've talked about it, hearing the word of God. And the last point is to be led of the Holy Spirit. May God give you insight into all that I've said. May the word of the Lord be praised. Yeah. Hearing the voice of
familiar spirits.
Yeah, true. Familiar spirits, yes.
Sometimes certain things speak to us and we think this is God that has spoken. I think I'm still at the point of trying to discern.
Yeah.
Which is, but I think so far all the voices that have spoken to me, if it's God, I was not had any point of regret in the decisions I've made. It's listening to the inner voice. I hope that God will continue giving me that insight to discern. And it's not a void of God.
Yeah.
I think it comes to fulfill the desires of the flesh.
You're right.
You need desires of pleasure.
Yeah.
That's when you get to know that this is not right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, because again, if you cannot hear from God, then how would aim to be faith, I think that preaching and the remark. reminder. Continue looking for God's voice and presence in our lives. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, may God give us more sensitivity to His voice, that we don't listen to familiar spirits, and judge every voice that we listen according to the Word of God. And I think one of the things with God is that He's very consistent in His speaking. So that is one of the things you learn about the character of God. If God told you something, the next time you go and ask Him about it, it will be the same thing He will tell you. And it will never contradict the Word of God. But anyway, we shall learn more about hearing from God and hearing His voice. But all the simple truth is just spend time in His presence. Acquaint yourself with the Bible. Acquaint yourself with worship. Acquaint yourself with being sensitive to His leading. And obey. I think obedience. Obedience. Because I believe the last time that God spoke to us is the last time we obeyed. And He will keep calling us and asking us, go back. That's why even Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar, yeah, and go back and make peace. Yeah. Okay, let us pray. Father God, we thank You, we honor You, we thank You for this day, thank You for the blessing of Your word, that You've spoken to us, that You're calling us to a place of rest, a place that You may bless the reading, bless the teaching, bless the encouragement, bless the discussion, that even as we continue to rest in Your truth, that Lord, You have called us to be sons of God. We do not take it for granted that we are Your firstborn son in Christ, and for that You've loved us, You're concerned for us, and You're meeting every need of us. And we do not need to scheme with men, we do not need to cheat men, we do not need to exploit men. But we need to know that You are in control and You are faithful. May Your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Bless our going in and our coming back, O God. Bless us in our workplaces and give us strength and health, O God. We pray for renewal of healing in our bodies. Remember our families and our children. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Blessed day, my brother.